Let's go ahead and pray and get right into this study. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us your word by your Holy Spirit. Every word given by inspiration, by the breath of your Spirit, as you inspired these words to be written, and we have them. And without error, Lord, we trust you completely and ask today that your Holy Spirit would teach us, and that in our eyesight, the glory of Christ Jesus in the Word would be evident, and that would reflect in our lives the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus our Lord. As we study, we ask to be transformed, changed day by day to be more and more like you. We ask for this section today that would cause us to grow up into you. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So with your left finger in 1 Corinthians 14, find your way over to Ephesians as we begin today. I left you off with an assignment 2 weeks ago. And if I use the word assignment, for some of you, you just heard homework, and so you didn't do it. The pastor doesn't give me any assignments. I gave up assignments when I turned 18. Or when I graduated, and then sometimes even the word, if you didn't graduate, don't talk to me about graduation. Depends on where you're at. Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 are companion sections of the Scripture as Paul writes to the church. I do believe that the letter to the Corinthians is to be corrective in nature over the things that they were practicing that Paul needed to correct. And get this, they didn't want to be corrected. And I think it's an important understanding that we would know then that when someone does not want to be corrected, the correction still comes. Now, whatever you do with that information then becomes solely, wholly, totally dependent upon you. I, for one, am thankful for the correction to the Corinthians, because now we get more insight and understanding how to practice the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church. Concerning the body, the body of Christ as we are known to be the church of Jesus, his body. He's the head, that we might grow up unto him. Look at Ephesians 4, and as you see Ephesians 4, verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith. So this perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry, 4:12. And this is what the Holy Spirit's been showing me is to happen for Calvary Chapel Fargo. The perfecting of the saints, we've been working on that for the entire year. The second part of that, for the work of ministry. To get every one of you serving in the kingdom of God. Laboring in the fields, as it were, hired by the Lord to go out and work the harvest. And if you've been waiting and you think this is the 11th hour, because it's pretty close to the Lord coming back, and just a good word of perfecting the saints, again that phrase, for the work of ministry. Now we've concentrated on the second part of that phrase in 4:12, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's your part. And I'm talking to each and every one of you singularly. If I say that five times really fast. Five times really fast. That, right? That's your part. Edifying of itself in love. Now, just again, as I introduce and instruct today, that the Holy Spirit has told us to grow up. And what we need to grow up into is to our head. That's Christ Jesus. It's instructed for us. If you hear the word perfecting of the saints, I need you to understand it doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. It means to be mature or to grow up. And we need to grow up in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, specifically gifts of tongues and gifts of prophecy, or related to what's called revelation, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. We're going to talk about that today. And specifically want to teach you today about the afterglow, the believers' meeting that we practice. And you're like, when do we do afterglow? Every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. prayer is literally afterglow. We have gifts of the Holy Spirit every Sunday morning. He We have words of prophecy every Sunday morning in prayer. Now, by describing this, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Again, when you hear that phrase, mature. Again, ladies, you don't have to become a mature man, right? Right? Mature, right? Men and women. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, first and foremost, I want to set that as your measurement. With the measure that you use, it'll be measured back to you. If you want to sit in church and judge others, then that will be measured back to you. That's what our Lord taught us. And calling this an understanding, it's time for us to put Christ Jesus our Lord as the one that we are measuring our lives to grow up into Him. And the key here, I guess, would be 2 Peter 3:18, the very last word that Peter writes in his epistle, which is, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you set yourself to grow, again, grow up into what? I mean, we're going to hit the new year, and maybe I'm just a week ahead of everybody else about resolutions and resolve to do this. Every resolution fails because of the one who resolved it. Pretty straightforward. But if it's the Holy Spirit in His church perfecting in us this life of Christ by the power of God, I introduce to you today, we need the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to teach on the afterglow and how much we need the believers' meetings, that you need to hear a word of prophecy from the Lord. That at any given point in time, as you love one another in the body of Christ, how important it is that you would know, if you have that gift of tongues, did you speak to God in worship in tongues today? And to know that you did that and have that between you and God, very edifying. And as Paul has been giving instructions, do you think Jesus spoke in the gift of tongues? Of course not. He's God. He knows everything. How could He ever speak in anything unknown? See? And now you start to realize how deep the life of Christ is to be in us. Because there's not a one of us in here who can say, I know as I ought to know. Not a one of us. But we've been instructed along the way here in our love to edify one another. But we can love one another as we ought to love. We may not know as we ought to know because we can't know everything. And that's why the gifts of prophecy, even if you have a tongue, that interpretation becomes very important. To know that it is the Holy Spirit is what we need, because it's the Spirit who brings to remembrance the things that Jesus has said. Your past experiences are no guarantee that you're going to continue to walk in the Holy Spirit. It does not matter. And it's very important that you would understand the present working of the Holy Spirit as we get on to this today. Still in Ephesians 4 in my mind, that we henceforth be no more children, 4:14, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So there's a whole deception out there to tell you that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not of God. And it's cunning, craftiness, deceit of men to lie to you about that. And I'm here to restore unto us that we as a church, again, holding fast to how we have been taught concerning Jesus Christ, who He is, how we follow Him, and the importance of what we see here in the Scriptures. You can find your way back to 1 Corinthians 14 concerning the Holy Spirit and His part in our lives, His working in and through our lives by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He, right, not it, if you will, not a force, but the person, the Holy Spirit, upon your life, that you would go forth and love, and you would go forth and give the gifts that He has given you, and you would go forth in obedience and love to God's Holy Spirit. In other words, like Jesus, right? You do understand that Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit for Yeah, don't give me that one back. Give me that other one there, if you would, please. Gimme. Thanks, Josiah. Yeah, don't set it up. You gave it potential energy. It's going to fall over again. There you go. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, it's the command to mature in Christ. Now, it's up to you. I mean, you can read the Bible however you want to read it. I'm very honest. You can read the Bible and make it say whatever you want to say. Now, I wouldn't advise that, because then you end up going your own way. 1 Corinthians 14, 20 says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children." He's calling us to no longer live after the old nature, right? But to put off the old man and put on the new. He's calling us. It's a command. It's imperative in the grammar. It's a command for you to grow up and to no longer live as a child, right? In regards to understanding, context, the Holy Spirit in the way that he gives gifts to the church, and specifically what I'll describe here in this section concerning the afterglow, believers' meetings. Not Sunday church service. And again, I'm describing, when do we as a church do our believers' meetings? Well, if you didn't know it, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. That's part of our prayer. What's a believers' meeting? What's afterglow? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to answer that today. We're to be understanding and be men. So it says, "Howbeit in malice be ye children." Just make that decision. I will no longer think evil of my brethren in church. What if you just did that? What if you just took that truth and said, "I will no longer think evil or practice," right? And I will love my brother, I will love my sister in truth. Okay? You're to be malice, right? In malice, you're to be children. Be immature with thinking evil. I never thought of that. Good. Don't think of it. And so if you have an evil thought, certainly don't spread it. Take it captive to the obedience of Christ. And this is where this reaches us today. But in understanding, be men. Now, the word here for understanding is the Greek word phren, or again, rooted in the Greek word phreno, and it's describing the mind of perceiving and judging. So when you read through the scriptures and Jesus instructs, with the measure that you judge, it will be used back to you, that's a different word for judgment. Okay? That's kreno. That's the decision and judgment finalizing. Many times our judgments are, oh, they're not of the Lord. Okay, that's an example of a judgment. Yeah, they're not even Christians. Keep in mind that even if you have a fight, what are you going there for? So you can read everybody's heart, and you know that when they're going to stand before God or not. Because Christians certainly wouldn't act that way. Hey, I've been a pastor for over 20 years. Yeah, Christians do act that way all the time. Now, what we are talking about here in our understanding is our mind, the faculty of perceiving and judging, this word phreno, which, again, I think if I would illustrate this with you, this command to mature in Christ comes by hearing and doing the Word of God. At this point, and you think about your life, you should be understanding of God's will for your life. That's Ephesians 5. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. If you were led about by drunkenness, you understand the contrast. You're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is the will of God's Holy Spirit to fill you up, that you would understand God's will in all things. How do you find God's will in all things? I'm glad you asked. Read your Bible and pray. It really is the Holy Spirit who is present with you when you read your Bible and you open up your heart, and between you and him, let the Word of God search your heart and let him change everything in you that's not of him, and the Holy Spirit would instruct, correct, teach, rebuke, and he'd even bring you onto the right way. And it's the Holy Spirit that we need in our lives. In this mind, again, to be thus minded, I think you understand what it is to be minded after the carnal nature. That's what you were before you were saved. And all the things that you were minded to do all the time that still come back from time to time now, and it's very immature for a Christian to go back to being carnally minded. Did you hear that? Children have a hard time walking. They have to be taught to walk. You have to hold them up. You have to steady them. And that happens in the beginning for us as we learn to follow Christ. But if you're still having a hard time with your Christian walk, say after 2 years, because 2 years of reading your Bible and praying and let the Holy Spirit change you and between you and Him, becoming what you're reading, Lord, change me. It might be that basic of a prayer, like, Holy Spirit, will you teach me by your Holy Spirit everything you see in me that's not like Jesus Christ? Would you cause that in me to go away, that I might put off the old nature and put on the new nature, and may I live after Christ? Find your way to Romans 8, if you would, please. Romans 8, 5. So, just one book back to the left from 1 Corinthians. And this illustrates the mind. We all know it's true. Our faculty of perceiving and judging, the mind, has great control over how we do things in our lives. If you have the perception that I'm not a spirit-filled man, you won't listen to what I say to you when I talk to you. If you think that my life, you have the perception that I don't really know what I'm talking about, that someone else in your life who you grew up with knew more about the doctrine of Scripture than I do, then I'm not your pastor. And I'm not fighting for that in your heart. But if you see that this gift of teaching and calling to share the Word of God and the shepherd is present, and again, here's my encouragement to you, your faculty of perceiving and judging, your mind controls almost your entire life. If you have the perception that someone lied to you, are you going to go back to them? I'm certainly not going to trust what anybody said if they lied to me. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, describes, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That mind there is phreno. So phreno, again, rooted in the same Greek word, which literally is it's an unused root word that means to fence in. And pretty much describes what we allow, what we don't allow. And so in that faculty of perceiving and judging, that really I'm calling us to perceive and judge according to the Scriptures concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the believers' meetings and how valuable gifts of prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, how valuable tongues and interpretation really are. And how important the Holy Spirit is as the teacher of the Scriptures to be carnally minded. Right? They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So the controlling perception of your mind. So if you view that you want to live your life after Christ Jesus, and you see that the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus at his water baptism, you know, heavens opened up, voice from heaven, Holy Spirit descends, beloved Son of God, and you see the power that Jesus has within to resist every lie and temptation of the devil and did not sin and comes forth in the power of the Holy Spirit to serve God, again, fully Messiah, serving perfectly in the will of God. And you look at something like that and say, that's what I want to live like. And to be spiritually minded is to have the mind of Christ and to take that, the idea of being minded after the Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit takes care of every detail in your life. The problem is not that there is no Holy Spirit. The problem is that we would rather be thus minded after our old nature and think we could blend. Our perception is part me, part Jesus, right? Or part carnal, part spiritual. And that's the practical stumbling of the church. Now, why I say it in that way is according to the Scriptures here, the truth is to be carnally minded is death. And if you just attach Romans 8, 6 together with 1 Corinthians 14, 20 in your mind and just say, in malice, I gotta be so not knowing about the evil things, but I need to be understanding, wise concerning that which is good, that which is mature, that which is godly, that which is spiritual. Because to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Isn't that what the world's crying out for? I'm astonished at how many Christians are willfully choosing the ways of the world over life and peace that comes from only the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe I have demonstrated, again with my life, that I have a life of life and peace because of the Holy Spirit, Word of God, prayer. He really does minister to every need in every single one who comes and seeks Him diligently. Because He is, right? And that's our faith. Anybody who comes to Him must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He's there. Isn't that Satan's biggest lie? I mean, you think about it. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. You think Jesus didn't know He was the Son of God? I mean, you at some point, you just got to say, between you and the devil, like just again as you're like resisting temptation, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to do that. I follow Christ Jesus. No. And why you take this spiritual mind, and it's life and peace, I do understand that when there's no life and peace, it's because we as believers are carnally minded and we want to live after the flesh and still be called a Christian. Whatever various expression that might have, I know this truth. They that, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, Romans 8, 7, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, who are they pleasing then? Well, themselves. Now, where this comes through to me is this understanding, right? This, what I'm calling us unto is a maturity in our understanding concerning the Holy Spirit and then specifically the gifts in operation in our believers' meetings, that without them, we're not going to be fruitful. But with them, we are going to prosper and grow up. Now listen, the gifts of the Spirit are not the foundation that you build your life upon. The Word of God is the foundation, right? Jesus, the Word, right? And so when you take that, you got to get them working together. And so you cannot just say, well, just give me the Holy Spirit. I don't need to read my Bible. That's not coming from the Holy Spirit. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit is very interested in you reading your Bible and doing what it says, especially as the Spirit inspired that. And this command to mature in Christ, the understanding, those who seek the Lord understand all things. Proverbs 28:5. Yesterday's proverb of the day. Those who seek the Lord understand all things. How did you understand that? How did you come to that perceiving and judging that that was God's will for you to take that job? How did you come to that understanding that it was God's will for you to go through Samaria that day? Remember Jesus? My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. What's that phrase? I don't know how much time you think about food. I think about food a lot. What's Jesus say to us? I don't know how much you think about God's will, but I think about God's will a lot. What's God's will for my morning? About noon, well, somewhere mid-morning, what's God's will? Somewhere around noon, oh yeah, I made 11 Z's, I might eat again. Okay, do you understand our Lord? Spiritually minded. Now, the unflattering truth is what? And I found this out about Calvary Chapel too, because I'm amongst a group of men, and I found out too, we're carnal. And if you just come to that agreement between you and the Lord and just say, okay, Lord, Your Holy Spirit, I just receive this in my life, is if I don't exercise myself, I get fat physically, right? Or for some of you, you eat so poorly that you get skinny. You have such horrible like eating habits and whatever it might be, you start to wither away. So you got to eat to keep your weight up. I don't know what that's like. Okay? But spiritually, if you come to this conclusion, and I want you to come to it, is I need to be spiritually active. Otherwise what? I'm just going to corrupt after my carnal. I'm going to always revert to my carnal mind unless I'm exercising to be spiritual. And then along come the scriptures. And again, as we apply it today, this idea of of growing up. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. Phreno. Right? I understood. My perceiving and judging of love and my perceiving and judging of church, the body of Christ, edifying, giving myself for my perceiving and judging. When I was a child, again, I understood as a child. So I'm calling us today to grow up in our understanding and therefore act upon it. Right? Because if you're given a command in Scripture and you don't act upon it, what are you saying? I don't need that. I mean, and that's sort of the context. Now, two pieces here as we were really kind of stuck in verse 1. I was really hoping, we got to get through chapter 14. I've already spent so much time in it. But two key verses. So I assigned Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. I hope that blessed you. I'm not going to repeat it today. Two in Hebrews that you need. Now, whenever my pastor would suggest read this book, again, whatever it was, and I was listening to him teach the Bible, I would buy the book and read it. Okay? That's how I was with him. So when I say you need these two verses today, however you want to be with these two verses, that's up to you. Hebrews 5:14. Right? Hebrews 5:14. Now, I'll just tell you, I'll pay my son royalties. He can have this. I'll give him as an example. Right? What you don't understand about him, right, is he threw horrible fits when he was a little baby, toddler. And I got him out of every one of them. I didn't put up with any one of them. And I taught him how to have power over those fits that he would throw. If he was still doing that at 21, 22, throwing fits, okay, now there's a reason why he doesn't throw fits now, right? Because he learned to rule over that part that is in every one of us. If he was still having fits, it would not be cute, right? And again, I would not be using the same methods. You need to understand. So there you are. You're welcome with the royalties. But I see adult fits all the time. Again, Christians throwing fits because they don't like what's happening to them. And it's usually expressed sometimes. Some people express that manifesting out certain sins. I'm going to now indulge myself in this sin, or I'm going to lie to cover up. I mean, very childish behavior. And to me, fits should be addressed, right? And again, just describing that. Thank you, son. And where do you want to eat today? Chinese. You want to eat Chinese food, yeah. Okay. I'm glad you chose something I like. And I'm buying, right? But you need to understand, right? It's time for us to grow up. And when we are carnally minded and are perceiving and judging, and we're throwing a fit because we don't like something. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't throw a fit the day he needed to go to the cross? I'm not. I mean, can you imagine? And I watched this with us. And why I bring it up in this context, 5:14. Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Okay? You hear that? Peter says to desire the pure milk of the word that it may grow thereby. But you feed babies milk. You don't keep feeding your baby milk. If you don't get them onto solid food, they're not going to mature. In fact, somebody was arrested, I think it was a month or two ago, where their child, they had only been giving them milk and milk products, and they never got them onto solid food, and this child was to be actually growing and wasn't. Likewise, when I can talk, and again, to all of you, strong meat belong to them that are of full age. You just have to decide in your perceiving and judging, I'm going to stop throwing my fits, I'm going to stop my disobedience, I'm going to stop my lying, cheating, stealing, whining, complaining. Okay? I'm going to stop lying to another Christian. I'm going to stop lying to my spouse. I'm going to stop lying to my children. I'm going to stop lying to my parents. I'm going to stop stealing, cheating, right? I'm going to stop the deception. I'm going to stop coming into church pretending that I have a good Christian life when I don't. Okay? Now, you just, that's up to you if you want that. But 5:14 tells me I want that. Right? Strong meat belongs to them who are full age. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So to spiritually exercise your mind, your faculty of perceiving and judging and how you live this out, because I want you to be mature in your understanding of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and what's that mean. Now, the carnal mind is enmity. The spiritual mind pleases God. Strong meat. Wrestle through the things that are in the Word. You get a command from the Holy Spirit. I don't care how hard it is to get that applied into your life. At some point, when one who is mature says, at all costs, I will do what God says for me to do. A child says, oh, that doesn't matter. But one who is of full age says, I must. Right? I must do what my Lord says to me. Again, the idea of being yoked is just a submission term. Being yoked together with Jesus, that's where your rest is really at. You know, and so it's not cute to have a 20-year-old Christian baby. Okay? Now, that can happen more easily than you know. Strong meat belongs to those who are full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 12:11. Now, this is also a very much a grown-up concept. Hebrews 12:11. So when I talk to my pastor friends, at some point we usually end up asking each other the same questions. Did you listen to what I said on Sunday? Was, did I come across too hard to the people? That's what one of my friends said to me this week. He said, no, it was great. Right? I love correction. This is my disposition now. Hebrews 12:11. Do you love correction? Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Yeah, get over it. Yep. This is going to hurt you more than it hurts me. And it needs to hurt you. Right? That's really what it's saying. I needed to be corrected. So therefore, having received correction, the instruction, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Do you understand grievous? Painful. Heavy. Don't like it. But I got to go through it. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The training, the exercising, same word in 5:14 of the exercising the senses and the exercising of the correction. How do Christians grow? By exercising spiritually the things that they are perceiving to be what God has for them to do. Now, where I want to take us today in this section of 1 Corinthians 14 is for you to have this understanding and grow up in the gifts, because we practice these gifts the way the Bible describes this. And not everybody partakes of that. Not everybody picks up the strong meat and by reason of use exercise their senses. So even if you haven't received the gift of tongues, you can still be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Again, some false doctrines that passed around and caught wide range within the body of Christ said that that's the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And according to scriptures, that's just not true. Now, why I say it in that context, then some would say, well, then who needs the gift of tongues? And then you're off on the other side. When the truth of the balance is, and to grow up in this, the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit himself upon your life. Now, you, if you have the gift of tongues, and for you, that's the Holy Spirit, you have that gift to use that. Verse 21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak unto this people. Now, this here is Paul causing them to, again, I listen to commentaries who say, the Bible had to mix this up and switch this around because it doesn't make sense. I study it, and the only way it makes sense is if I receive the first phrase, in the law it is written. Then I go back and look in the law, and then I get the understanding that the Holy Spirit teaches, and by this strong meat, you're like, okay, what is this? In the law it's written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak unto the people. And then this phrase, yet for all that they will not hear me. Again, shows up in Deuteronomy 28, but it's really a prophecy that Isaiah talks about in Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12. And the key phrase at the end of Isaiah 28, 11 and 12, that the people of God would not hear God, so then he would send stammering lips and another tongue to speak to this people. Well, remember Isaiah's calling. Isaiah was called to preach to Israel, who has ears, but they're not going to hear. They have eyes, but they're not going to see. And he's going to speak to his own people in their own native language, and they're not going to understand. Who did Jesus teach the parables unto all the time? The same group of people who had eyes, but they could not see, and ears, but they could not hear. But Isaiah prophesies that people of another tongue will ultimately be preaching to Israel, but they wouldn't hear. So Paul quotes this when instructing the church that men of other tongues and other lips, I'll speak unto the people, yet for all that they will not hear, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to believers, but to unbelievers. See, and that's where the commentators get so confused, and they want to flip it around and say, well, tongues got to be for the believers, a sign for the believers. No. And again, he goes on to explain. Prophecy, prophesying serveth them that believe not, but for them that believe. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place, and they all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, they'll say you're crazy. See, now let's apply this correctly. For us as believers, tongues aren't a sign. We understand tongues are a gift of the Holy Spirit, that to one is given a tongue that they can speak unto God, and we know that's the Holy Spirit. That's our faith. Because if we don't believe every part of the Bible, which parts can you believe and not believe? Do you want to hold in yourself the part of the Scripture that belongs in there and the part does not belong? There's not a person alive who can sort that thing out with anything. Well, this part's not of God. Listen, the whole thing is. And why I describe it to us, and the only way we can understand this, is in the context that the gift of tongues for unbelievers will be a sign. That's how you know they're an unbeliever. That's what he's saying. They come in your midst. They say, that's crazy. When I, as a believer, experience tongues, and tongues and interpretation of what I say, I'm like, that's the Holy Spirit. That's my faith, right? That this is why I describe that. And so the gift of tongues is a sign for them that believe not. The unbelievers look at that thing and say, they're crazy. They made that all up. So you have to be careful who you listen to and what you listen to, because there are men who stand up and women who stand up and teach the Bible and say other things contrary to this. And so this context of how we operate in the gift of tongues. So now onto this introduction, a believer's meeting. So I'm not going to host a meeting where believers and unbelievers are in the meeting just so I can have tongues as a sign to know there are unbelievers in the room. No. The term believer's meeting or afterglow is for what? Us who believe and then understand and have grown up. That gift of tongues is given. We've studied that in 1 Corinthians 14. What it's for. Now, why I describe it in this way is because Paul's writing this. He says, if therefore the whole church come together in one place and speak with tongues, and there come in those who are unlearned or unbelievers, they'll say you're crazy. But if all prophesy, now, if all prophesy and there are unlearned, come in one that believeth not or one that is unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Can you imagine a word of knowledge or a word of prophecy that actually describes the sin that the unbeliever was doing the night before? And the person prophesying that? I remember a word of knowledge in here that, again, a guy came in and the Holy Spirit saw him coming, and the word of knowledge that there's someone in the room who's given over to a substance and it's running their lives. Very first time this guy ever stepped foot in the room. Now, I look at this, that's the type of church that Jesus' church is. Right? But get this, when unbelievers go to church services now, I just sort of describe it, you know, stand up, sit down, fight, 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 or if it's of the Catholic version, stand up, sit down, kneel, stand up, sit, kneel, fight, fight, fight. Now, I'm not scoffing and mocking, but what I'm illustrating is, where's the power of God? It's not the pastor, it's not the priest, that's not the power of God. It's not, even in and of itself, the Word without the Holy Spirit will be powerless when you read it. But when we study the Scriptures and we're asking the Holy Spirit and we're searching out the meaning, understanding, and we're opening up our hearts for the Holy Spirit, then that living Word of God can go right to where it needs to go and it can transform our lives. You know, and in describing this, prophecy can search out, and when that person hears that gift of prophecy, I remember Pastor Chuck teaching through the Bible. He just describes one time he's teaching and he has this picture of this type of man he's trying to describe, drives a white Cadillac and isn't really in the ministry but wants to give everybody the perception that he's in the ministry, but he's really a charlatan and he's just taking people's money. A guy comes up after him and said, "You need to stop talking about my ministry that way." There was a guy in the room that was, and he's just going through the teaching of the Bible, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit at work in the time of teaching, and that man was convicted. And Pastor Chuck's like, "I don't even know who you are." That's how the Holy Spirit is to be in our lives. So I'm calling us out of being childish about the gifts, especially tongues, and especially prophecy, and I'm exhorting, encouraging all of you, again, especially in this area of prophecy, take your time, know, understand, pray, ask the Holy Spirit this verse. If he's given you a verse, spend time with him and then search out, what do you want me to say to this person? Okay? Because the Holy Spirit wants to speak. "Thus the secrets of his heart made manifest, so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth." That's why tongues are a sign of unbelievers. They're not going to listen anyway. You know, you come to church service, and if your church service, again, people have done this, and their church service, at some point in the service, everybody is speaking aloud in tongues, and like, why would I go to church service like that? Unbelievers don't do that, right? So why would we have, again, if an unbeliever comes into church, what do we want them to hear? The gospel. We want them to be convicted that there's a God who knows their sin and convicts them of sin, righteousness, and judgment by the Holy Spirit. And these are the things we want to live that way. I want to grow up in that. So you have the believers meeting, as I would now introduce unto you, that we would have that time set aside where the believers would gather together and practice in our afterglow services. Don't think of after because it's after the service, but it's a reference to the Shekinah glory of God. We're seeking the Holy Spirit that he would reveal his glory by the Holy Spirit in the gifts of the Spirit in the church, that we would receive that which is not of us, but supernaturally he would give it to us. Coming through words of wisdom, words of knowledge. And then there's these gifts of power. Again, if you categorize them, healings, miracles, and faith. The power of God to do the supernatural that wasn't being done before. When God does one of those, his glory should shine amongst the church. He's emphasizing here that the gift of tongues is for believers. Likewise, prophecy, those that receive and hear and believe prophecy, it's for believers because that's where they're convicted and then they'll repent and believe the gospel. How important is a word of knowledge as you're sharing the gospel? If the Holy Spirit gives you a specific piece of information about the person you're sharing Christ with. Now, onto the warning for us, take heed unto yourselves. Right? Take heed unto yourselves how you hear and what you hear. And as you're commanded to grow up in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 14:26, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying." He's simply saying the church of Corinth, and what he's correcting with them, Everybody brought something because they had something to say. Well, even as you prepare and have something to say, maybe the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to say it that day. Maybe you need to first know and understand how important it is to wait and see what the Holy Spirit, again, afterglow, waiting upon Him, believers' meetings, not coming just to share your gift. Oh, I had some. Hey, did you hear what I said today? That's what he's addressing in 14:26. This becomes a very instructive passage for us, that it's not about coming together so each one of us has something to say. Okay? A doctrine, a revelation, quite the opposite. He describes here, let all things be done unto edifying. If I have something to say and it doesn't edify another person, what's it worth? Okay? What's it really worth? So you could have services of tongues that doesn't edify anybody because there's no interpretation. What's the value? Likewise, if you come and share, again, you have to determine. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's talking to you about yourself in your own prayer closet, and he's talking to you, and that's not for you to share with another. So by reason of use, you exercise your senses. Having exercised your senses, then you know what the Holy Spirit wants to say. So at some point, everybody has to do something. You have to try. If God has given you a gift and you're going to present it to the church as a gift to edify them, you can't say, well, I was thinking about that and I should have said something. I never said that. At some point, you have to do what? You actually have to share your gift. See? If any man speak, this is 1 Corinthians 14:27. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, he says, let it be by two or at most by three, and that by course, not all at the same time. If there's a tongue that a person wants to share to speak unto God, right? He says two or three at most, and then by course, not all at the same time. And then if you have a tongue, you're to call for an interpretation, and let one interpret. So never is it such the way where you have this gift of tongues where you become so compelled that you just got to blurt out the tongue wherever you're at, and it might be in the middle of the service, or you think you're going to be talking in the middle of a business meeting conversation, all of a sudden you're compelled to speak in tongues. That's not the Holy Spirit. Okay? And that by course. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. And I want you to highlight that phrase, silence in the church. You literally, again, need to receive the commands that you can keep your mouth shut about that. Whatever that is that you might be commanded to be silent about. So if there's no gift of interpretation, nobody there who has the gift of interpretation, it doesn't mean that then you don't have the gift of tongues and too bad, I'm going to share my tongue anyway. Again, that's the context of what's being corrected with Corinth. I have a gift that I came to share today. What if you just prepared yourself, well, maybe I don't have anything to share today, but I'm coming to be edified by what the others have. And let him speak to himself and to God. See, so you're not actually in that silence told that you can't speak, are you? But you take your voice, and this is what I always tell everybody. Again, I'm worshiping in tongues. In fact, it's easier for me to worship in tongues today than to sing because of this thing I got in my lungs, right? This coughing, right? So it's easier for me, right? Which way is he going? Okay, very good, because he's your assignment, right? Okay, very good. All right, it's easier for me today to worship in tongues. But what am I teaching us today is that to do it quietly, right? I'm not looking for to stop worship service. That worship set today, anybody want to stop that worship set and interrupt that with an interpretation of a tongue? Uh-uh. And this is my whole stance. Let's worship God in such a way where we don't cause anyone else in the room to think about another person. I'm already fighting off enough thoughts anyway. We all are. So we don't want to live our lives in such a way where, you know, like I'm singing louder. Why? What are they singing so loud for? And all of a sudden you're thinking about the person who's trying to do something. If I spoke in tongues like that during worship, you'd be like, what a distraction, you know, that I would be to another. And And in that regard of then calling for an interpretation, we're not going to interrupt the worship set like that. So my silence is not actually silence, is it? It's between me and God. Let the prophet speak, two or three, and let the other judge. Now, here's what I've learned, is as you're growing in the gift of prophecy, you're just like, I have this verse, I don't know what it is yet. So we have room to exercise by reason of use together and work through what this is. But if you continue, right, and don't ever grow past a maturity of the gift and say, okay, this scripture, right, now I understand what the Holy Spirit wanted to say. Maybe it was for me. Then, okay, now I understand. So don't repeat that. But if it is brought for the church and somebody else is already prophesying about that, you can simply say, okay, amen, I had these verses. It's the same prophecy as that. I say that's the Holy Spirit. This is where I am. We had that this morning in prayer. Someone says, I bear witness to the Holy Spirit. These are the verses I had. Someone said, I had these verses last week. I have them this week. We're like, that's the gift of prophecy. You know how edifying that is? That when this, what you've received, and another can say, I received the same thing, and this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. That's at most two or three. We're not to have just prophecy after prophecy after prophecy with nobody judging, nobody saying amen. I don't know what those words mean, but that sure was nice. Kind of. But the prophecy is to land. And then we're to hear and we're to respond. We're to grow. So the prophets, two or three, let the other judge. Okay? How do we do that? Here's what I do. Amen. That's the Lord. Hey, that's of God. That's my judgment. I've also been the other way. Again, when others were growing and starting with their gifts, I said, yeah, I'm not saying you're not of the Lord, but that phrase that you just said is not what the Holy Spirit wants to be shared right now. Or you hear me say things to people, hey, you press pause. I think that's, you know, I'm like, wait, let's address this first. Let's get all the way through the understanding so we can all agree and say amen. And then before we go on to another thing, you may all prophesy, okay, this phrase, if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. The Holy Spirit doesn't interrupt himself. Okay? So if the Holy Spirit, again, as this is going on, say, hey, I think I have something that the Holy Spirit wants me to share right now, then the agreeable part is, let's listen to that. Yeah? And all of us have to be together on that with the gift of prophecy. And these are our believers' meetings. For ye all may prophesy one by one. Do you realize if you have something to say and you don't get to say it that day, it's okay. It's probably just as much important. Do you have to be the one that speaks to the church? If I stood up and all I valued was hearing my voice every Sunday morning, can you imagine that? And go back and, oh, when I said that, oh, that was so cool. And I would much rather be certain that I'm teaching the Bible in such a way that all of you are growing and being taught and understanding the Word of God. You know, and why I say it in that way, the gifts of prophecy the same way, you may all prophesy one by one, that you all may learn and may be comforted. Remember that? Exhortation, edification, comfort. Especially when you need comfort, when you're in a trial, when you're suffering, and the Holy Spirit has a word to comfort. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That's why you will not blurt out in tongues. And if you are blurting out in tongues, saying, I just had to. No, you didn't. You spirit of the prophets is subject. You can always, between you and God, all the gifts, everything that the Holy Spirit gives you, you can do what? It has an on and off switch, or it has a valve, if you like the idea of I can pause, I can wait, I can pray, I can be silent. Let him hold his peace, right? That was the instruction. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion. So who is the author of confusion if God's not the author of confusion? Every one of you. If you're not spiritually minded, being carnally minded can be what? The author of confusion. The world, the devil, and our own sinful flesh. So you understand we're to have peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now on to verse 34, the part that all of you were waiting for today. So here's the context. The context is the believers meeting in the afterglow concerning gifts of prophecy, and as prophecies being shared that we all might learn and to stand by there and judge. One of the key things that I do when I lead an afterglow is I must follow the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding and what is being said by everybody. And many times I'll summarize using gifts of the Holy Spirit that we're talking. I even used it this morning in our prayer. We have one thing we're talking about today. We might have had four verses, but it was all prophecy concerning one thing. Okay? And why I describe it in that context is I believe that Paul here is laying this out. And he says, let your women keep silence in the churches. It doesn't mean they can't talk any more than if there's no interpreter, right? Don't ever speak in tongues the rest of your life. It doesn't say that. Keep silent, meaning no public, right, expression of that tongue without interpretation. You can still speak unto God. Again, that was the instruction. That's why I had you highlight it. So you understand the context in 34 when he says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, or again, to be submitted unto their own husband, as the law also says. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now, it has nothing to do with them actually talking, because Paul has already instructed in 1 Corinthians 11 that there are women with gifts of prophecy, a word of prophecy. How can you go deliver a prophecy if you're not allowed to speak in church? Okay, so as you chew on this, and then you go through the scriptures, and so what's being said? What's being said is that place of judging the prophecy, again, that faculty of perceiving and judging, and understanding and learning, it's not to be given to the women to sit there and explain and give the judgment. I believe this faculty, again, as we practice this here in church, this is a part of me growing, learning, understanding as the pastor to lead afterglows, that I do all that. Right? So it's a reference to, for the church, judging and learning, and furthermore, for that family. And I don't blame the women, right, at all, because many times the women are much more open and ready for the gifts of the Holy Spirit than their husbands are. And so my exhortation is to the men, if you have a Spirit-filled wife who has gifts of the Spirit, has understanding, by reason of you, she's been exercising her senses and she understands prophecy and she's learned these things, and if you're behind her, get your act together. You must lead her. You must grow. You must understand. You cannot just say, my wife takes care of that part. I go to work, I bring home the paycheck, she's got all the rest. Ouch. Now, he does go there in chapter 16. He says, quit yourselves and be like men. So, I'm just starting a couple chapters early. Exhorting you men to do what? Be the spiritual leader in your home. You understand what prophecy was shared on Sunday morning prayer, so you can explain it to your wife. Women ask me a question, and I say to them, what did your husband say to you when you asked that question to him? Why can't you just give me the answer? Do you think I want to go around Scripture and take that authority? See, but this is that part. So I want you to know, let your women keep silence in the churches. Again, it's not to be, Paul writes to Timothy, he says that a woman's not to pastor, usurp authority over a man. Now, at some point, you just have to submit yourself unto God's word and say, I go with that. Likewise, if our afterglows, believers' meetings, become women-led, we have a hard time agreeing together with this scripture. Now, ladies, when you're doing afterglow and it's just the women, right, full on. Share all that understanding, learning, things like that. My wife asks me questions all the time. What was that? What's this about? What are these two things? How do these go? I know, and she's also showing me all the time the things that God is showing her. We work together. In fact, we had a in prayer this morning, Holy Spirit, we were working together. We didn't even know we were going to be working together. And I just lay this out. It's time for us to grow up in the gifts of prophecy. Now, I'm not having you stop sharing verses, but I'm causing you to do what? What is that verse, and what does the Holy Spirit want to say? You have a verse, then what about it that ties together with what's being shared? How do you take that verse and speak a word of prophecy to another? Because we need the specific things. You come to church, and you might look nice and shiny on the outside, but inside is what? For some people, there's trouble, difficulty. You sinned this week. You just need to hear a word from the Lord, or maybe others in your life, or they took a turn for the worse, and you say, I need to hear from the Lord. That's the type of environment we need. So, yes, I need, if you have gifts of prophecy, ladies, I need what? I need you to prophesy. Right? I don't need you to say, well, I'll judge that if that's true or not. That's not going to help. That's the silence. That's the part. Go home and talk with your husband about, and if you don't have a husband, come and talk to me and my wife, and ladies will help you out with all this. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. It is a shame for women to speak in the church. Again, what's the context? If my wife is always correcting me in the spirit over I share a gift and say, well, this is what it really means, that's a shameful thing. That means that my marriage is pretty much really not of any value to any of you. And why I describe it in this context is that that's where Paul is writing. It's in the perceiving and judging over prophecy, operation of the gifts, believers' meetings, that the women are not to be leading them when it's mixed company in the church. What? Came the word of God out from you? Came it from you only? So now you notice he's correcting the Corinthians because that was going on. So then people say, well, was that just Corinth or not Corinth? And then this guy, you got to chew on that. You have to chew on the word of God. In fact, the men and women issues in ministry and church and gifts of the Holy Spirit and in pastoring and leading, chew on it. I mean, how many people want to hear my answer when they haven't chewed on it and just, I don't know, I don't like your answer. Well, have you chewed on the scripture? Likewise, I don't know how many ladies like it when I say, what'd your husband say to you when you asked him? I asked him and he didn't have an answer. Well, then he better come to me. Okay? See, did we originate the word of God and practices? You do understand what Paul is saying about the woman was made for man, not the other way around. That's the word of God. That's the order. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And I like that because he's full on instructing, teaching how to do the afterglow. Again, even if you take this whole thing, is that even as I talk about tongues and I talk about prophecy and the doctrines that others have used, you really have to say, do we do afterglow according to the Word of God? Right? Do we practice tongues according to Scripture? Because there's unbiblical practices that churches do. There's not a single thing you could say, well, I do it because they did it over there. That's like the worst. That's not foundational. You never know by experience that what another did was ever true, but you can know it by the Scriptures. I had a man tell me one time that he was at some event and, a traveling guest speaker who was bringing the Holy Spirit in a particular way, and he went to that meeting and he heard all these wonderful teachings of the Holy Spirit. I said, bro, what you're saying is not the Holy Spirit. See, there's a cunning craftiness. And I like 38. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. We're not going to sit and argue. Right? We are not going to sit and argue about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to draw unto God's Holy Spirit and what he says to us, respond and operate according to that. If somebody wants to argue that wasn't the Holy Spirit and they want to have a fight over that, I'm just like, well, we're agreeing this is the Holy Spirit. If you don't want to agree with that, well, you don't have to agree with it. You want to be ignorant of what the Holy Spirit just said? Or if you want to be ignorant about the gift of tongues, how can I change that? Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, And I like this phrase, forbid not to speak with tongues. You know how much easier it is for churches to say what? Let's just not do tongues. Or, likewise, who needs prophecy? We got the Word of God. We do this practice week in and week out. Listen, if you have no revelation, according to the Proverbs, you're going to cast off restraint. I know that Christians, sheep, go back to carnal living if there's no supernatural power regularly at work in our lives. We all tend to go back to sin and carnal living if there's no revelation of what God is doing and saying how I must live. Now, where do I experience that most? In my prayer closet. I have a supernatural experience with God every single day. Now, likewise, if we come to church and we have no supernatural power of God at work, then what is this Christian life? You might as well live however you want to live. But if this Christian life is supernatural, right, the instruction is covet to prophesy, forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently in order. Not morbidly. I would say biblically, everything done decently in order should come with a whole bunch of joy with it. According to that. So, you want me to talk for another hour about this? When I just go on a car ride and I'll just talk with you about all these things. I spent a trip one time going out to I was on a board meeting for another Calvary Chapel, and I took a man that I was discipling, and companionship also, like he didn't have his license, he wasn't going to drive, but we talked about one verse the whole way out there. 1 Peter 3:7. That a husband is to dwell with his wife according to knowledge or with understanding, giving honor unto the wife as to the weaker vessel. I talked his ear off for 2.5-3 hours. Now, do you have anything to say about the Holy Spirit? This is this section. Okay? To be in church and pretend, thinking you could lie to the Holy Spirit, ask Ananias and Sapphira how that went for them when they chose to lie to the Holy Spirit. See, what I know is the Holy Spirit is bringing all of us together to give us an understanding where to grow up, and we're not to despise prophesying anymore. And we're to not be so like, well, I don't have the gift of tongues, I don't even pay attention to when people speak in tongues. That's exactly what's missing here. See, and what you're really being exhorted with is casting out the scoffer of unbelief within each and every one of our hearts. And I know this, right? I know that every one of us comes from whatever background, and then you come to the Scriptures, and then you come to the practice of the Scriptures, and you're confronted with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and believers' meetings. A lot of people just don't show up. I remember early on what a resistance we had to waiting upon God's Holy Spirit, because part in that group didn't want the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Then we had another part of the church that didn't want the Word of God. Two great prunings, and voila. Jesus says, here's your church. I don't know if he said voila. So, Father in heaven, we glorify your Son, Jesus. And we ask for the Holy Spirit. Cause us to grow up into our Lord, into our head, into Jesus. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I can't think of what we need more other than to be baptized in your Holy Spirit and to be filled with your Spirit and to operate in the love and gifts of the Holy Spirit. I pray that today, Lord, that the Word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Spirit today, would minister the need to every person. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.